You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Turtle, Thomas Turtle, is in for Mike today. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to see you, my friend. It's been a while since we have actually had to hook up and do a show. I hear the night thing is going really well for you.
Well, you know. Oh, not to toot my own horn. The ratings, they are what they are. 92.9. Carl Dukes will say is in a healthy place.
Yes, yes.
As a radio station. But you know what, Carl? It's really you and Mike that normally would get the honor, the privilege, one might say, of working with Abe Gordon. But because Abe was on the midday show today,
this is true.
You get me? And you know what, Carl?
What?
You know what they say? It's like riding a bike. You just sit back in, you get in the chair. And it's just like, I never left.
It's true.
The kids like to say.
No. It's good to see you. I see you every night, but you're coming in. We're leaving. And for those who don't know, Turtle was our longtime executive producer. And obviously, he's come up in the world. But make sure you check him out every night from 6 to 10 and sometimes 6 to 11, depending on what's going on. Hey, man, we got a lot to get into today. As we said, Turtle's in for Mike. O is off, which means our man Day-Day, executive producing, doing all the things behind the scenes. And look, we are going to get into the NBA Finals. But I got to tell you something. Braves win again. And I said this to you. I said it to Day-Day today. And look, I don't want to sound like that guy. But this is kind of boring. We're beating teams every week. We're winning series. We're doing what we need to do. And don't misunderstand me here. The Braves winning, and again, they're going for the sweep tonight with Chris Sale on the hill. But you know, Turtle, the thing for me is, you look at this team, they're 42-20. We are just rolling. 100 games is in the view, okay? We're going to get there if things continue to go the way they are. Now, I'm not getting out ahead of my skis. All I'm telling you is, every single night, it's somebody different. And again, last night, Dubon hits the go-ahead three-run home run in the third. You're like, Dubon? Remember when people said Dubon couldn't hit? Did we get lied to?
Well, Carl, there's also something to be said for hitting where he's hitting in a lineup stacked with Matt Olson, you know, when Drake Baldwin's healthy. Ozzie's having a great year. Money Harris is having a great year. Takes a little bit of the pressure off the guys like Dubon, Mateo, Dom Smith. But, Carl, those are the guys who perform the most.
They are. And are you saying it takes pressure off? They don't go up to the plate with any pressure is what you're saying. So they go up loose.
Yeah, because when you know that you're not in the lineup to be the guy, more likely than not, A, you're going to get a pitch to hit that Matt Olson's not. B, you know that you're not like Walt Weiss isn't sitting there with his arms crossed giving you, you know, what the bleep are you doing face if you strike out. You know, if you're the seventh, eighth, and ninth hitter in the lineup, Carl, you're not, you don't have the same level of expectations as Acuna, as Olson, Riley, as the guys.
Why you say it like that?
Well,
because he's not hitting?
Because he's hitting 200.
Okay,
Carl.
Go ahead.
Because he's hitting 200.
Yeah,
Carl.
Yeah. But that's my thing. Riley's not hitting. Kim's still not hitting, even though Kim had a hit. Drake's out. We're just still rolling people up and winning these series, game after game, series after series. And whether you sweep or not, folks, understand this. It's great to sweep. Feels good. But if you win half your series at home, right, and half on the road, you're going to get to 100 wins. That's the key to this. And so for us right now, we've already won this series. We'll go for the sweep tonight. What I'm telling you is the makeup of this team. And I think the most important element, which I'm going to get to in a second, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The most important element I'll talk about. But the makeup of this team is allowing you to achieve this without having a full roster. You haven't even seen what this full lineup is supposed to look like. Whether it's been injuries, Turtle, whether it's been, you know, guys not where they're hitting or whatever's going on. I mean, Kim was injured. He comes back. He's still trying to get into the mix.
Well, can I ask a question, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Will we?
Will we see the full lineup?
The full lineup?
We should.
It's It's into June now, Carl.
I know, but look, can we get past the All-Star break? And then hopefully, fingers crossed, everybody's healthy, everything's going fine. At that point, that's when I need to see this team really start to click. And look, we're playing really good, but I don't even think we've played our best baseball, nor do I hope that we haven't, because I want to see that in September and October. But yeah, I'm to answer your question, I hope after we get past the All-Star break into July, that's when I'm hoping everybody is right and we can see what this thing's going to look like. 404-726-0929. The most important part of this, and you may disagree, has been the hiring of Walt Weiss. Call me crazy. There were folks who said, let's go outside the organization. Let's change things up.
Me.
You're not the only one.
Me.
There were a lot of Braves fans who said, hey, Snit was an organizational guy. Bobby Cox, we can talk about all of the things before Walt Weiss.
You know what it felt, Carl, at the time? Redundant and uninspired. And you know what it's been? The complete opposite.
Complete opposite. It has been the biggest decision, and the reason is the reason is because of the way Walt Weiss is handling this team. I want you to hear Alex Anthopoulos on what he said about what he learned about Walt Weiss and his managerial style. Now, remember, he's a manager in Colorado. Do you look at that and go, well, I don't think he's good enough? They didn't do that. They judged him for what he is and what he has been here and his vision on what he thought this team could be. I think it's the best decision why this team is rolling and why we're 42-20, the way that he's handled all of these situations. We've not complained once about Walt Weiss. Think about it. We haven't. Here's Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, so I'd say, like you said, I knew him for 8 years, but I didn't know him as in a manager role. We never talked about it. In terms of the bench coach, you deal with them, you're organizing some things. Obviously, 99% of my conversations were with Snit. There's times that Walt would be in the room, he'd be there together. He's helping working through the lineups, scheduling, things like that. Just be part of the conversations and so on. When we went through the interview process with him, at one point we talked about really digging into his Colorado experience, going through all of his games, how he managed his in-game. You can do all kinds of things in interviews. You can try to simulate, ask people questions, do all kinds of things. But we were going to do that, and ultimately we realized it was such a long time ago. He had been with us for 8 years. Things have changed a lot. He's learned a lot. He's grown a lot. That we didn't really weigh anything that he did back in Colorado. I was more curious about what he felt he learned from it. It was more about communication style, maybe dealing with players, things like that. But I do think the 8 years here and everything he had been involved with here with us, we had a pretty good handle on who he was going to be. In terms of the way he's managed, I mean, those are all the things he talked about in the interview. You know, he talked about being aggressive. He talked about wanting to use the entire team, the entire bench, and so on. And it was the first time I talked to him in that realm, in that role. So I was very impressed the first time. I already knew the person, all those things, but seeing how his mind worked and what he thought about how to manage a game, how to go through it, and so on. It's as advertised at this point.
That's why I love Alex Anthopoulos. I've told you for the last 5 years, best general manager in baseball. And what he did is he went into an interview where he could have had a preconceived notion about a guy because he had been sitting there with the former manager and said, not sure. And already in his mind, he's thinking about the next guy. He went into that and said, open-minded, let's talk about what you envision. And because of it, Walt Weiss gets an opportunity. I love what I'm seeing from Walt Weiss. You guys? I'm absolutely loving it.
Runaway manager of the year.
Leaving, whether it's going to charge Soler, it doesn't matter. I'm loving everything that I'm seeing from Walt Weiss. And then you talk to guys on the team and they're like, yep, different energy. He allows guys to be themselves. This is why this team is excelling. And this is another reason why I'm sitting at home every night like, another win. 404-726-0929. That said, you said to me today, as Chris is in for Mike, you are keeping some kind of folder. What's this all about?
Yeah, we have a On the Night show with Oren, our producer. You guys obviously work with him here on Dukes and Bell as well. We've created the 2026 Braves, Carl, something to ponder file. And what we've done is, over the course of the season, as the Braves have just won and won and won, we've just made little annotations, little marks,
okay,
about things that we're seeing that come up we may want to see adjusted just a little
bit. Whoa, whoa.
Just a little bit.
Wait. Did you say October?
Come October.
It's which is, June.
Yeah, but Carl, here's my philosophical hypothesis, if you will. Do you expect the Braves to be playing in October this year?
Yes.
Because I do.
Yes.
Okay. So with the background, so we got ourselves a filing cabinet. We got ourselves a manila folder. We typed out a little list of things. We put it in the manila folder, and we shut it. There are things to ponder, Carl, such as.
Such as what?
Picture, let's do a flash forward exercise. Game one. World Series.
I like it already.
Lineup card comes out. Braves, whoever. Rays, Yankees, whoever comes. Cleveland. Left field. Starting. Yaz. 250 average. 3 home runs as of June 3rd. Starting at shortstop. Mauricio Dubon. Ultimate utility guy. Starting shortstop on a World Series team?
Keep Dubon's name out of your mouth. You see what this guy is doing. Keep going. Go ahead.
Now flash forward to game three.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Elder is starting for you?
Oh, jeez.
Is that good enough?
Are you questioning what you're seeing right now with the performances of these guys?
All I'm saying is that at this point, it's October. Right?
I would agree with
that. Yeah, you're 22 games over 500.
Yes.
For the first time, I believe, in the most ironic way, Carl, AA is under the most pressure now he's ever been under to make the right moves at the deadline. You have to put a couple of finishing touches on this team.
So you want a left fielder, you want a shortstop, and you want a starting pitcher?
You want to show me something?
That's what you're telling me?
You want to show me something? Go get Byron Buxton from the Twins. Because you know what? As good as Owen Murphy's going to be someday, as good as Caminiti's going to be someday.
Not there.
The Braves should win a World Series this year. Go all in. Do it. Why not? Yaz, to me, is not a World Series starting caliber left fielder. Dubon, to me, is not a World Series caliber starting shortstop.
Are you watching what Dubon's doing?
Yes. But he's better served as your ultimate utility guy. That's what he was brought here to be, Carl. Let's not forget. Ha-Seong Kim is supposed to be your starting shortstop.
Right this now. Is true.
And he's not because he's batting under 100.
It's his spring training. I mean, he's getting acclimated.
Listen, Carl, all I'm saying is.
It's coming.
I want the Braves to win a World Series now. In 2026. Not. Don't worry about 2027, 2028. Use the less need approach. Blank them picks. But instead of blank them picks, it's blank them prospects.
That was too emotional.
I'm emotional because I'm watching a team that should be the overwhelming favorite to win the World Series.
Yes, but we should.
But there's a couple of areas on this team that could definitely be upgraded.
So we need a left fielder now, a shortstop, and a starting pitcher.
How about a bullpen arm? Oh, you want to keep throwing Tyler Kemp?
How many moves are you going to make?
You want to be a World Series team?
Yes,
or not?
I do.
How many moves did AA make in 2021?
He had to.
Okay.
He doesn't have to do that now.
I agree that the Braves. Now, here's what I'll say, and I know we got a break. The Braves can win a World Series in 2026, as is. I believe that. But you have the ability right now, over the next month, before a month and a half before the trade deadline, go upgrade this team and be like what the Rams are going to be in the NFL this year. Mm. The overwhelming favorite.
Something to ponder, he said. 404-726-0929. You agree with Turtle? You hit us up. 404-726-0929. I think he's asking a lot. All right? And by the way, this is not a fluke. I'm going to let you hear what Dubon said last night after another Braves win next.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim.
Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
We will get into the NBA Finals and how the Spurs blew a big opportunity last night. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Turtle Thomas is in for Mike today. Dede is behind the glass and doing all the things as Big O is off. And we were talking about the Braves who continue to win. Dubon hit the go-ahead three-run home run in the third inning last night. He got help. Olsen hits, you know, he had three hits. Ozzie had a three-run homer in the seventh. But as we were talking about this, and Chris said, look, I want to see Alex Anthopoulos go out and do a couple of things, and he thinks there's a lot of pressure on him to do them this year. And you brought up Dubon, and you said he's a utility guy. He's not, you know, a starting shortstop in the World Series. Here's what Dubon said, by the way, last night, and I think this is very important. It's simplistic, but it's very important.
But Dubon gives it a ride out to right center. Varsho going back.
It's fun, man. Everybody from the staff to, you know, to my teammates. It's been really fun, you know, just coming here and you don't know what you're gonna expect, you know. Like, you know, you got Ronald doing his thing, you got Ossie doing his thing, you got Dom doing his thing, you got a lot of different guys doing their thing, and by the same time we're one whole group, and it's been pretty fun just watching, you know, everybody growing up as a family. I think that's been the biggest one for us.
Chris, did you hear? It's fun.
I didn't say Dubon shouldn't be part of the team, Carl. I just said, come. He's been invaluable. But part of what makes him invaluable, Carl, is his versatility.
Yes, he can do a lot of things.
And you're telling me there's a spot, seventh inning, Dom Smith is running the bases, you're down by one, you put Dubon in, and then he could go play anywhere on the field.
Right, right. And look, I think that's the plan. This is what gets back to us being completely healthy. But Dubon's point there is, I'm watching everybody do their thing. I'm doing my thing when I get the opportunity. It's fun. See, I think the reason why we've been so successful, and there are a couple of them. One is Walt Weiss. The other is these kinds of players that Alex went out and got. The Dubons of the world, the Yazes of the world. All these guys are contributing at some point. But the main thing is, guys aren't stressing. Like, that's the part about this. Even Riley, I know he's struggling, but we're not even talking about it because you trust that Austin Riley, at some point, is going to click. Like, it's going to happen. And then we'll be like, oh, remember he started off the season. He wasn't that hot. I just feel like that's what's going to happen. In the meantime, everybody's having fun. We're enjoying it, man. We're vibing. And I'm only saying that to say, Chris, like, that is why I think, yes, this team should be playing in October. I'm not telling you we're not going to go on a losing streak or that we're not going to have a bad week or two. The season's too long. I covered baseball for over a decade. It happens. But it doesn't take away from what you are. Right now, are you willing to say that we're a contender? You said it, 22 games over 500. I'm willing to tell you we are. We're not going to lose 20 in a row.
No, they're the best team in baseball, Carl. But you can be the best team in baseball by a wide margin if you improve in a couple of areas, and that's my point. Listen, here's the other thing, too. Can we be honest?
Yeah.
Schwellenbach's coming back, right?
Yes, he is.
Do we know how he's going to pitch?
We do not.
Waldrop's coming back, right?
Hopefully, yes.
Do we know how he's going to pitch?
I have no idea.
Smith-Shawver might be coming back early.
That is correct.
Do we know how he's going to pitch?
Fingers are crossed.
Okay. Bullpen getting – we have the best, and it's not close, 7, 8, and 9 in baseball.
Hands down.
With Lee, Suarez, and Iglesias.
Hands down.
On a night where a starter doesn't have length, who's getting to those guys? We released Aaron Bummer. Tyler Kinley, even in...
Didier Fuentes! Fuentes!
Again, Carl.
What?
October.
Oh.
Okay?
You're not talking about now.
That's where my brain is okay. Right now. Right. I'm thinking about October. Right. So 21-year-old Didier Fuentes is getting up in the World Series... Bases loaded.
It's possible.
In the fifth inning.
Why are you putting him in an impossible situation? It's possible. He's working towards this.
Do you realize?
You want all the riches right now.
Do you realize, okay, what did the Dodgers do? Went out and got all the riches. What did the Mets do? Even though they stink, went out and
terrible.
Got all the riches.
They're terrible.
What did Philly do? Went out and got all the riches.
Not in a half.
Toronto, what did they do?
We just beat them.
Carl, there's a stat I often quote on the night show because it goes to show you where the Braves are, but more importantly, C-Dukes, where they could be.
What do you mean Braves, they're in first place?
Braves are a top eight team in payroll, okay?
Tell me you're not going to go here.
Do you know what the gap is to get to the top five?
Is it $40 million?
50.
Okay.
So the Braves are spending 50 less million dollars a season than the fifth place team in baseball, which is the Toronto Blue Jays.
And they're underachieving.
And you're telling me we can't go out at this trade deadline and tack on $15, $20 million in salary?
I think they can do that. I am not optimistic that AA or even the entire organization, the decision makers, would want to tack on 40 or 50. Like, and I say that because if you're talking about going to get a big-time starting pitcher, and if Kim is not hitting and you want to address that, and you want to go get a legitimate left fielder, which you're going to trade for, you could easily tack on $40 million, depending on the players you're going to go after. I don't think they want to do that. But the 15, 20, you know what that is? You're taking a pro-far salary, right? That's what you're doing.
Yeah, they have a $17 million Correct. Marker that's just sitting there.
So you could definitely do that. But I also think this is also about, as we talk about the Braves guys, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, that we're not overachieving. This is the way this team was constructed. Can we just give credit where credit's due? Alex did a better job of putting this team together than the Phillies did, despite the fact that they spent more money, yep. than the Mets did, despite the fact that they spent more money.
Yep.
This is what we're talking about.
Then so, this year, even the Dodgers are hurt, Carl.
They're not. They're not.
They put together a flawed roster, not because of talent, but because of injury.
That's right. And so what are they trying to do? They're trying to Band-Aid that by just simply going out and signing the next highest guy. They are not thinking about this the way that our Braves are. All right, let me grab Tony in Decatur where it's greater. Tony, thanks for listening, man. What do you think about this conversation? And did he go? He left? All right, Tony, sorry about that. Because he wanted to get in on this, and he called in. You can at 404-726-0929. Because, look, I'm all about October as well. But I also think until we see this roster in its with everybody back, I don't know if we need to address all these things yet. You bring up a great point. What if all three of those guys come back and they can help us? You have just acquired three free agent arms, in essence, that you didn't think you would get. What if Kim starts to hit and comes around and becomes that guy, and then Dubon can play his role? You know, these are the Drake's going to come back. So once those things happen, I think, Turtle, then I can look at this team and go, all right, yeah, absolutely, you're right. I got to go get this, this, and maybe that.
Another question.
Is this about October?
Yeah. You want Sandy Leon as your backup catcher in October? I don't think Murph's coming back. They just transferred him to the 60-day IL.
I saw that. Yeah, and look, it's unfortunate. Murph's deal here, when he got here, was he was a really good defensive catcher, and unfortunately injuries have just been in the way. So – yeah, that's a great question. Now, that's something because, look, you cannot go into these playoffs and have question marks behind the dish. You just can't. So and
he calls a great game, but he's a zero at the plate.
He is.
That's an automatic out.
So, and Drake is still becoming that defensive catcher that you want him to be. So he's still not quite there, but his bat is undeniable. So it's going to be interesting, guys. We talk about the Braves. They finish up the series with Chris Sale tonight. What was it you said you were, or some things to ponder?
Yeah, we have a file on the night show.
Yeah.
It's an old school filing cabinet with a manila folder that opens up.
Okay.
And we put a piece of paper in there. And it's things to ponder.
You might as well pin things to the wall like you're following clues
it's
here.
It's like that scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Charlie Day. And he's got the map and he's got the cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
That's right.
That's what Oren and I are doing. We're trying to map out the path to the World Series for the Braves. And right now, they are absolutely a World Series contender. But again, they can make themselves an overwhelming favorite if they tweak a couple of little things.
Grant has called in. Grant, thanks for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are your thoughts, Grant?
Well, I was listening, and you're talking about, or everybody thinks that the Braves need a left fielder and a shortstop and a pitcher, but we've also got Mauricio Dubon, who is an outstanding talent. If you go get a left fielder, a shortstop,
trade,
he ain't gonna play.
Yeah. Well, or he may have to be involved in a potential move.
That's not. He's going to play a lot. He's going to be doing, Grant, what the Braves signed him to do initially, which is be your super utility guy. He's going to play 4 or 5 days a week still. It's going to be a chess piece right now, which is what he's supposed to be, instead of he's stuck switching off between starting at shortstop and left field every other night.
You heard Grant. He wants to see more Dubon. Grant saying Dubon is producing. You heard Grant?
I didn't realize Mauricio Dubon was Honus Wagner all of a sudden, Carl.
Three-run homer. He broke the game open last night.
But can we relax a little bit on Mauricio Dubon? My goodness.
He's doing great. Let it ride.
I didn't realize we had 1994 Alex Rodriguez in the lineup playing shortstop. Cal Ripken over here. My goodness.
Grant, man, thanks for calling us. Look. I think you see where this goes, and then you adjust accordingly. More on the Braves coming up. When we come back, though, it's on the coach. And I'll tell you why next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
I have been saying that the most important player for the New York Knicks since they played us has been and will be Karl-Anthony Towns. Not their best player, their most important. And again, that played out last night as they came from behind to beat the Spurs in game one. Turtle is in for Mike today, who is off.
By the way, Carl, real quick.
Yeah, man.
That was a catchy open. I think the producer that made that did a pretty good job on it.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that. You know, it's even lasted the
test
of time.
Yeah, the test of time.
You guys are still using it.
Well, look, I mean, when things are good, they're good. Yeah. You know, you don't change things. It's sort of like Dubon. But let's talk about the game last night. Here's what I am grappling with. Spurs played well enough to win. They blow it. Wimby was not great. 6 of 21. He did score 26 points. But Karl-Anthony Towns, when defending Wimby, I'm talking about the primary defender. He was 2 for 12. Which tells you he struggled. What if I told you guys that Wimby isn't really a true center? I know he's 7'5", but he isn't a true center. And what you're seeing with the Knicks is very similar to what happened to us, Chris. Their physicality and their bigs can wear on you. And even though Mitchell can't shoot to save his life, and you start bringing in these guys, they all can lean on you. And they did that last night with Wimby. And I think Mitch Johnson, the coach of the Spurs, has got to make a major adjustment. Matter of fact, you know, when you start talking about the rotations and what he did last night, I didn't understand. Look, the Harper kid was killing them. And I'm like, you just leave him in there. He puts De'Aaron Fox back in the game.
Who's not healthy.
He's not. You can see it. There were things last night, and I'm going, Mitch Johnson, you're not coaching. And so if the Spurs are going to get back into this, they got to make some serious adjustments, and Mitch has got to start showing up. I put last night's loss on him.
But let me ask you this, though. What, Luke Kornet? I mean,
got to put him in there. You put him in there so that at least his body, when we talk about big bodies, guys, you see how lean Wimby is. It's not about the length. We know that. It's more about my 250 or 280 pounds leaning on your 207, right? And that's what happens through the course of a game and through the course of a series. You just wear guys down. So I think Kornet, you put him in there, you let him lean on Towns. He's not going to be the best matchup, but it allows Wimby to do Wimby things. We're going to see what happens. Last night was very interesting. I want you to hear Mike Brown, the head coach of the Knicks, talk about Karl-Anthony Towns' performance.
He was amazing. I mean, the double-double was huge. He came up with some timely buckets for us. He's a problem. You put a small guy on him, he's got a chance to offense a rebound. You put a big guy on him, he's got a chance to pick and pop and go around guys. So we got to just keep trying to move him around based on who's guarding him throughout the course of the ball game. But he was huge for us with his double-double.
Yeah, you see this kid? This guy that ran on the court last night, did you see this?
You know what the funniest part about it is?
What?
He tried to get a selfie with Wemby, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was too short to get Wemby's head in the selfie. It's literally just his chest that's in the, and like part of his Adam's apple. That's all that's in the, he literally didn't get Wemby's face in the selfie because he was too short.
And what's even funnier is the fact that he still put the video out. Dude, you went to jail. You've been banned.
I'm going to post this.
Right, I'm posting this
he's banned
anyway.
For life.
He's banned for life.
Yep.
I'm going to post this. The funniest part to me, and I didn't realize it, this is always good with the replay. First of all, nobody was hurt. That's a good, right? No, he wasn't crazy. He ran on the court. He just wanted. But he runs on the court, and he's literally going, Wemby! Mm-hmm. Wemby! And when you watch it back, Wimby's smiling. When the guy starts taking the selfies, like, really, right now? Like, I'm available after the game, before the game. But no, man, that was a moment last night. Everybody was, like, on pause and hoping that nothing stupid was going to happen. It didn't. The stupid thing was that the Spurs blew a 14-point lead. And Jalen Brunson, look, we saw it firsthand against the Hawks. By the way, you guys realize we're the last team to beat them?
12-0.
We're the last team to beat them in the playoffs?
12-0.
So
Brunson's a magician, man.
He really is.
He just the angles and the shot selection, and like it almost looks like a slow pitch softball when he's trying to get some of these buckets in, man. It's crazy. The one step back he hit in the fourth quarter last night, where he's a lefty, he's falling away to the right, and then he floats it up there like a Russell Wilson ball moonshot, and the thing goes in all net. I've never seen anything like it before.
No, look. I thought when he goes down, and I actually put it out there on Twitter and X. By the way, give out your handle, man.
Yeah, you can send all your complaints to C Thomas Radio.
And please do. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. Yes, he's still using it. And Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. But I put it out there. I said, we're going to see how this game changes. Because when he went back to the locker room with the knee thing that happened early in the game. And I said, though, dude's tough as nails. If he can play, he'll play. And then, you know, the ankle thing happens, and you're like, oh, my God, he's going to be battling all this stuff. Fourth quarter rolls around, you wouldn't have nothing happened. He's just killing the Spurs. He had 13 points in the fourth quarter. So 30 points for the game. They go on 11-0 run. Here's my thing, Chris. Are they destined? Is this a team of death? I hate to say that because I know that the Spurs, I feel like they're going to respond. But Mitch Johnson, again, he's got to start coaching and making some adjustments. But it feels like that with this Knicks team.
Yeah, it does. And we said it on the pre-show this morning. I typically try to stay away from cliches like that because what does that really mean, team of destiny? But, I mean, Carl, you're 12-0. You're beating teams by an average that's unprecedented. Even with last night, you still won by double digits.
One by ten last night. Yeah.
And the type of performance, again, it can't be overstated that Jalen Brunson is having in these playoffs. And by the way, Cat's, as you mentioned, Cat's defense. There's not you. If you told me yesterday he was going to put up that level of defensive output, I would have laughed you out of the room. What's his reputation around the league, Carl?
Yeah, it's not
soft.
That. It's not that.
It's soft.
Yeah.
And he really showed up and showed out last night. And they didn't even get great offensive contributions from Hart and Anobi. Hart had a great game defending and rebounding. But, you know, what if he goes off for 20 on a night? Then how much are you going to win by?
Well, you bring up a valid point because, to be quite honest, Brunson didn't shoot the ball well.
He took 30 shots.
He took 30 shots. And I think it was 12 of 30. That's going to be the worst game you see in this entire series from him.
By far.
By far.
I think by far.
So
yeah.
Now what I'm saying to you is Friday's game two, but Brunson's not going to shoot 12 for 30 again. He still had 30 points and still closed with 13 points in the fourth quarter.
But is Wemby going to – what was – Wemby missed a lot of shots.
6 of 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would think both of those things are going to even out.
So the Brunson thing is interesting because yeah, he even though if you just look at the final numbers, you go, wow, he had 30. But again, Chris is right. It wasn't a really good night shooting. 2 for 9 from three-point land for him. he's going to be better.
But the biggest three of the game, he hit.
He did.
Late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think he also had 13 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, man. And it was funny because my buddy Sam Mitchell, who comes on the show, he said that was rust. They had been off. He feels like that was rust. I said, well, you may be right. Either way.
Well, do you remember what happened in game one in Cleveland? Same thing.
Rust.
They were down by 20, and then they came back in the fourth quarter. Same thing.
Let me hear Carl Anthony Towns while Turtle's talking about his defense, and he talked about defending Wimby.
Just try to make it difficult. He's an amazing player. He's a one-of-a-kind player in this NBA and the league has ever seen, and you just try to make it as difficult as possible.
No, he did. And right now, for Spike Lee and Fat Joe and Timothy Chalamet, who were all at the game last night, and Tracy Morgan, they're all going crazy. And if the Knicks go back up 2-0 in this series, this is a wrap. Spurs are not beating this version of the Knicks, who are playing as well as anybody we've seen all season at the most critical time of the season. They're not beating them four games. They're just not, especially being down 0-2. So it's win or literally go home for the Spurs. And that's what makes Friday's game, you know, so interesting. We'll see what happens. But I think those adjustments need to be made. And you know, the thing with Wimby is, Chris, I think we're anointing him before time.
Well, it's hard not to.
No, but listen, all these greats that have come before Wimby, you know, we said that, listen, I know there are people in our audience who are listening right now. The same things they say about Wimby, they said about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Coming out of college, four chips. He's unstoppable. He's going to run the league for X amount of years. Yes, he became an all-time great, won six rings. But my point is, all these guys had to earn it. Doc J, right? Bird, Magic, Jordan, Kobe, Shaq. And even though when they came into the league, I remember when Shaq got drafted and everybody's like, man, he was unstoppable. He's just too damn big for everybody.
What, 7 years for him to win a championship?
Yes.
And Jordan, we watched The Last Dance. We saw that whole struggle documented where he couldn't get through the conference. And LeBron, I mean, how many years was it before LeBron won his first title with Kyrie?
Remember, he gets swept by the Spurs in his first NBA Finals appearance. That's the team everybody goes, who else played with LeBron that year in Cleveland? But he got there.
Eric Snow would like a word.
Exactly. 404-726-0929.
Zildrunas Ilgauskas,
there you go,
would like a word.
There it is. There it is. You know who else was on that squad? He's in court right now, facing charges.
Oh, Delonte West?
Well, Delonte West was on that team, but I'm also thinking about, who am I thinking about? Damon?
Damon Jones?
I think Damon Jones was on that squad. I believe he was on that squad. Either way.
Anderson Varejao. Varejao. Would like a word.
See, you are the only guy that remembers all of these guys. Nobody else in our audience remembers any of these guys. I just feel like, as much as we've talked about Wimby, and I love what he's done, and I say it, he's must-see TV, but so are all these other stars before him. We can't anoint him a champion before he's earned it. And we did this with LeBron, guys. He was this, that, and the other. Oh, he's hadn't earned it. He hadn't earned it. And I'm waiting. Like, if Wimby wins this championship and comes back and beats this Knicks team, I'll praise him till forever. But I'm not going to crown him a champion until he's actually a champion.
Crying in the West.
Too much. Too much emotion in the Western Conference. That's where I'm at.
Well, Carl, you also hit on something I think that's not being talked about enough. The Knicks have a distinct coaching advantage. Distinct. And you saw it last night.
Yep.
So for all the haters out there that said, oh, Tibbs, we need Tibbs. Mike Brown's done a hell of a job this year.
He has. And look, Jalen Brunson's dad, for all the flack, is helping a lot. Has helped a lot. And for those who don't understand or remember this either, he also played in these NBA Finals in 99 with the Knicks. So there is some history there as you go back and say, oh, well, you know, and Brunson's dad's on the bench, and there's been some talk about Brunson and preferential treatment and all this stuff. He's your best player. It's just what it is.
He also took a massive discount in order to get the players on the team now that are helping you be where you are. Don't forget about that.
No, that's true.
He left millions of dollars on the table.
Not next time.
He's going to get it back.
Not next time. Look, if he wins a chip in New York, he'll make, Chris, I'm only telling you, he'll make $200 to $500 million off the court.
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Easy. Then people, I think, I only know this because I grew up in New York. If I grew up here in Atlanta, I wouldn't understand because the era in which I grew up in, the Knicks were trash,
yeah.
Carl,
yeah.
For 99% of my life. The Knicks run New York. It's not the Yankees. It's not the Giants. It's not the Jets.
It brings
it's
everybody
the,
together.
It's the Knicks.
You're right.
They run New York.
It brings everybody together. I don't disagree. You're either a Jets or Giants fan. You're a Mets or Yankees. Everybody's a Knicks fan. I agree. All right, man. Your thoughts are welcome. We're talking about the NBA Finals. A lot more to dive into here on the show as we'll go around the NFL coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. He has made it official. And I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, is he sometimes weird? Yeah. But I also think he was really damn good. And I think sometimes we get blinded by the other things.
Did he say, I'd rather not play for the Jets and retire and go to TV? That's absolutely what this individual did.
Well, I would have done the same thing. And Protect College Sports Act. Okay, we got to dive in. Because more and more stuff's coming out of this congressional hearing from yesterday, and the SEC and the Big Ten now are walking in the same space. We'll get into that coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.